When troubles come against me and I feel so overwhelmed, when it seems the more I've tried giving, my troubles seem to swell. When I've reached the end of me and my faith is getting dim, then I hear a sweet voice whisper, just bring it all to Him.
So I'll just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan. And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him. In the throne room of my Savior, I find sweet relief. I find strength to bear my burdens. I find comfort for my grief. And when my cup is overflowing, as He fills it to the rim,
what a blessed consolation, I can bring it all to Him.
So I'll just
bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan.
And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
So I'll just bring it all to Him. When no one understands, when you're looking for an answer, God always has a plan.
And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
And when the burdens get so heavy and my sight is getting dim, oh how sweet it is in knowing I can bring it all to Him.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord for the good truth in that song. We've been studying through the book of Hebrews, and a couple of weeks ago we were talking out of chapter 5 into the first part of chapter 6, and we talked about milk and meat and those who should be teaching and those who, though they should be teaching, needed teaching themselves. And then we got into leaving some things, and Paul had said in chapter 6 verse 3, "And this will we do, if God permit." And then he goes into a section that is a very difficult section, and we'll tackle it, the Lord willing, Wednesday night. This section of some things that the apostle said was impossible. And we'll get into this, and some folks say, well, you know, it's a lost man. Some people say, well, it's a saved man. Some people say, well, it's a saved man who has gone so far into sin that he can't be recovered. And some people say, well, no, it's not that. It's, but we're going to see what the Scripture says. Amen. The Scripture is always so. And when you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture, it's a lot easier to come to a conclusion. And so that's our plan, and that'll be Wednesday night. But for tonight, and then we'll deal with verses 4 through 9 Wednesday, I want to deal with this because I feel like the Lord laid it on my heart this past week, and we'll begin in verse number 10. Now, I want to say this as we get into this. This is one of the reasons that I believe that verses 4 through 9 is dealing with a saved man. I believe it's talking about saved people because I believe that when the Scripture says here, look at verse number 9, but beloved. That's for Christian folks, right? And he said, we are persuaded better things of you. In other words, we expect better things of you. We're persuaded that things are different. And he said, and things that accompany salvation, not that is salvation, but things that accompany salvation. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are some things, you know, that God has set up that you must do in order to be saved. You just can't go to heaven your way. You know, I've talked to people. You've talked to people. And they say, well, you know what? I believe in God, and me and him's got our arrangement worked out. Well, I hope so, but now understand that it's got to be a Bible arrangement. Amen. Amen. Well, I plan on going to heaven, but I plan on going my way. Well, no, you don't go your way. There's only one way. That's God's way. Amen. There's not three or four ways to heaven, brethren. Understand that. There's not three or four. There's not even two ways to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And here, the apostle said, I want to speak to you about some things that accompany salvation. All right, that once you're saved, it doesn't determine if you're saved or not. It's just some things that take place when you get saved. By the way, that's what he's been talking about. When you go back to chapter 5, if you'll look in verse number 11, he said, I wanted in verse number 10 to talk to you about Melchizedek. He said, but in verse 11, he said, it's hard because you're dull of hearing. He said, you're kind of lazy listeners, and you need to listen intently. And we've talked about the importance that the Bible puts on listening. You know, I believe this with all of my heart. I'm glad for eyesight, aren't you? I thank God for eyesight. But I want to tell you something. The devil can use eyesight. All right, now God can use it too, but God uses, there's five major senses of the human body, physical senses. There's five major, two of those are prominent, hearing and seeing. All right? God said, faith cometh by what? And he said, you walk by faith, not by sight. You need to walk by what you hear, not by what you see. See, the world says, what? Seeing is believing. That's not what God said. That's not what God said. Now, God has given his word. And the things we see can distract us, any of us. And here, he said, I want to talk to you about things that accompany salvation. You need to be taking in God's word, and you need to be learning and growing and even being teachers, he said. Putting it into practice so you can teach others. And now he kind of goes and he says, because if you don't do this, there's a path that could be taken. But then he comes back in verse number 9 and he says, but beloved, I want to talk to you what could be. Now, I showed you what could be as far as negatively, all right? You could get away from God to a place to where when people try to reach out to you, you won't have anything to do with them. I'm talking about a Christian brother, a Christian sister, someone who is saved in the grace of God, and they have gotten into the place of their Christian life. They don't want anybody to talk to them about getting right with God. See, you'll never restore anyone like that. You'll never restore anyone like that. The only way a person is going to be restored is for them to get to the place in their heart to where they realize, I need restoration. Amen. I need restoration. Amen. So I'll go and I'll pound on them and pound on them and pound on them, preacher, and they'll get right. No, they won't. Not until God gets them to a place where they want to get right. You've got to want to get right. And here the scripture says, and that's what it's talking about. Look in verse number 4. I said, I'm not going to preach it. Maybe I am. Said, it's impossible. It's impossible. You say, I'm afraid that I don't like to give up on people. If you know me very well, you know I don't like to give up on people. I don't. But there comes a time where we have to realize if God doesn't get involved in this, I'm just beating my head up against the wall. Amen? You say, well, preacher, I'm dealing with someone like that right now. Well, my question is, have you ever been there? Have you ever been to a place to where you say, I don't want to get right. I just want to continue to go through the motions. I don't want to do right. I don't want to get right. And when some brother comes to me or some sister comes to me and wants to talk to me about getting right, I'm just going to put them off. I may even get angry and run them off. Listen, that's your right. But I want to tell you something. It's dangerous ground. It's dangerous ground. And that's what Paul's talking about. And that's why he said in verse number 9, look at it one more time. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. We're persuaded. Listen, we all get off course. Amen. And when we sin, the Bible teaches we need to confess our sin. We need to acknowledge it. And when we confess and acknowledge our sin, then we can get back on course. But until we come to that place where we realize we need to do it. Now, I'm talking to some parent tonight. I want you to listen to me. Your child is wayward. And you're saying, I'm going to pound it in them, preacher. I'm going to pound and pound and pound until they get it right. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do if you're not careful now. You're going to do more harm than you are good. You don't quit praying. Listen, I want you to hear me well tonight. Don't you ever quit praying. And don't you ever give up. Don't you ever give up. But you understand something. If the Holy Ghost of God doesn't get involved and bring deep-seated conviction in a person's heart to where they realize they need to get right with God, they'll never get right with God. Never. And so we have to understand that God has a major role in this. Certainly we play a role in reaching the backslidden, in restoring those that are broken. We certainly play a role in this. And when a person gets to this place, it's a bad place to be, and it's a dark place to be. Verses 4 through 6 is a very dark place. Please listen to me. You say, I'm just going to play around with this thing, preacher. I'm just going to go through the motions, and I'm just going to play around with it. I know I'm saved, but I'm not going to do what God said. I'm not going to do what that book says. I'm not going to do what I was trained to do. You're going to mess up. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. You're going to mess up. You're going to get yourself in a place right here in this scripture to where God is going to let you go through some very troubled waters, some very dark days in your life, because you will not soften your heart to the voice of God. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. The devil has you deceived. Now, the devil's a deceiver. Listen to me. You say, well, he's not going to deceive me, preacher. There's people saying that every day, already deceived. Already deceived. Don't even realize they're deceived. And they're saying, he's not going to deceive me. And they're deceived while they're saying it. You're no match for the devil. I'm no match for the devil. We can still say amen. We're no match for the devil. If God be not our helper, we're in serious trouble. But I'm glad God is our helper. And I'm glad that God has given us His Word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and He's given us a Christian family around us. And that's what I want to talk to you about, the importance of a Christian family. And I don't mean just parents and siblings and children. I'm talking about a church family. Here Paul said this. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Now what's he saying? He just got through talking about a group of people who had gone away, who had gone back on God. They had gone back. And he said, listen, as long as they're in that state, look if you would in verse number 6. He said, when they're in that state, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance. It's impossible. They're not going to listen. They're not going to listen to you until God gets them to the place where they're sick of their self and they're sick of their sin. They're not going to listen. And he said, they're crucifying the Son of God afresh. They're putting Him to an open shame. The way they're living, just saying, you know, just crucifying Him afresh. I'll get into that in the detail Wednesday. But he said, I want you to also understand, if you keep serving God with your life, God sees what you're doing. Now, here's the problem, and I want to talk to you about this word. I want you to write this word down, okay? Appreciation. Here's what the apostle's saying. He said, I want you to know God appreciates your labor of love. He said, God's not unrighteous. Look at it in verse 10. He said, for God is not unrighteous to forget. Aren't you glad of that? See, we forget. We do. Brother David talked about it last week. It's one of my favorite sections in the scripture about man and our forgetfulness. How that when I think it was it the butler who was getting out, and Joseph said, now don't forget me. and he forgot him. Yeah,
Yeah, Joseph was the main purpose of his release. And he forgot him. See, we forget. As men, as individuals, we forget. Some more than others, but we are all forgetful. We forget. We forget. If I'm not careful as the pastor of the church, I'll forget. Listen, this is not about me. This is not even about you. This is about God. It's about God. It's about serving the Lord. It's not about serving for accolades, attention, a pat on the back. I'm for rewards. I'm for appreciation days. I'm for those things, and you know it. But here, the apostle is saying this. He said, but beloved, he said, I want you to know something. God is not unrighteous to forget. God sees what you're doing. Man may not see what you're doing. There are some people in this service today who have no idea. If I were to ask you, listen, if you don't tell me who worked the nurseries this morning, you owe me $100. I'd be a rich man tonight. But can I tell you, the people in those nurseries are very, very important. Because while those people are back there watching those babies, and thank God for the babies, amen? While those people are back there working with the children and watching those babies, the adults, the parents, the grown-ups are out here listening to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word so they can be a better mommy and a better daddy and a better employee and a better church member. It's important. But yet, when we think about important people of the church, can I tell you, I don't think the nursery would even make the top 10. But I want to tell those of you who work in the nursery, God will not forget your work and your labor of love. See, God sees it. God sees it. God sees what goes on behind the scenes. God just doesn't see the pastors and the deacons and those who sing specials and play instruments. Thank God for all of those. Amen. They're needed. But can I tell you, those that are not on the platform and those that are not out front, they're needed also. They're just as much a part of the work. They're very important. And that's what the apostle is saying. He said, I want to tell you that God appreciates what you do. You say, well, preacher, I don't do a whole lot, but God appreciates what you do. As a matter of fact, if you do think you do a whole lot, I don't know that God's going to be very appreciative of that. See, then that's where it kind of gets into you. When I begin to think, well, I'm doing a lot, then that's where I get in the way. But when I say, you know what, God is really doing a work, then see, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. And so he says here, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. That word unrighteous means God's not unjust. God sees what you're doing. The eyes of the Lord are in every place. He sees what you're doing. As minute as you might think it may be, as unimportant as you may think it may be, maybe the devil has told you, what you do at Fellowship Baptist Church is not important. I'm here to tell you, if you do anything for God, that's important. Doing something for God is important work. Amen? Amen? Amen. So all I do is, I just straighten up the songbooks, preacher. That's important. To God, that's important because you're doing it for Him. And notice this. Here's the motivation. Under appreciation, I want you to write this word down, motivation. What motivates you? Look at what the apostle said here ought to be our motivation. Look at it now. He said, your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name. Yes, you're doing it to the saints, he said, because you're ministering to the saints, but you're doing it in His name. You're doing it because you care that God's name is exalted. It's not so that you can get a pen. Now, if you got a pen, don't get mad at me. That's not what I'm saying. But that's not why we serve God. That's not why we serve God, so that we get a certificate or a pen. I'm not opposed, as I've already said, for recognition. I'm not opposed to that. But there's got to be something higher than that. We have to understand who we're doing this for. And the apostle said, God appreciates the work that His saints do. And he said, He's not unrighteous. He's not unjust to forget. He sees. I want to ask you a question. Who'd you serve last week? Who did you reach out to? Who did you make a difference in their life? See, I have to ask myself these questions, just like you. You say, well, now, wait a minute. You and Pastor David and Pastor Brandon and Pastor BJ, y'all are pastors. Well, you're a Christian. I want you to notice what it says again in verse number 9. He didn't say but pastors. He didn't say but ministers. He said but beloved. Amen? And verse 9 goes with verse 10, and verse 10 is addressed to the same people. Verse 9, he said, "Beloved, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." God's not unrighteous. Who'd you visit? Who'd you call? See, this is what this great churches don't just happen. You understand this. Great churches don't just happen. People don't fall in love with the church on accident. It's because of ministry. It's because of care. It's because of warmth. And I thank God for all of those things that we have here. But I want to tell you, the devil wants to break it up. The devil wants you to quit. The devil wants me to quit. The devil wants me to quit ministering to people because he knows that's what people need, ministry. Ministry. Just give you a quick example. We were having lunch today. Everywhere you go, people need ministry. You believe that? You go to work, people need ministry. You come to church, people need ministry. By the way, the Bible says when you come to church, you ought to be exhorting one another. Why? Because people need ministry. You mean even at church, preacher? Absolutely. People need ministry everywhere. Everywhere you go, people are hurting. I don't know who said it, but I read it many years ago. When a man is involved in helping those that hurt, he will never, never be in need to minister. People are always hurting. They're everywhere. So we go, and there's a young lady who waits on us, and as we were getting ready to leave, I gave her a gospel tract, and I said, "Young lady, I want you to have this, and I want you to read it on the back to tell you how to get to heaven." And she just burst into tears. I mean, it stunned us. She just burst into tears, and she said, "I need prayer." And she just got it. She said, "I'm so sorry." And I said, "Hey, wait a minute now. Don't you be sorry. Don't you be." See, I knew this was just something God was working in people's lives. God works in people's lives. And so I said, "Listen, would it get you in trouble with your employer if I had prayer with you right here, right now?" She said, "No." So we had prayer right there. And I prayed for her. I'm sure you could just tell she was just so appreciative. Now, this is not about me, all right? If you're open to minister to people, those kind of opportunities are open all the time. But we've got to be open to minister to people. People are hurting. Let me share something with you that I just took some time. Just today between church services, I took some time and I did this. Now, I want you to know something. Notice what the apostle says here. He said, "Which you showed toward his name in that you have ministered," verse 10, "to the saints." You see that? Yes, God wants me to reach the lost. I try to win people to Jesus. I want people to get saved. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I want people to experience salvation. It's the greatest thing that can happen to them. It is. But you know, God also wants us to minister one to another. Doesn't he? Yeah. You need ministry? I don't need ministry, preacher. I'll say you're being deceived. We all need ministry. Did you know the Bible? If you'll just write down these two words, one another, over and over. And I just wrote down a few. I want you to listen up. Okay? Listen. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10, the Bible says, preferring one another. In Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Romans 15, 9, receive one another. Romans 16, 16, salute one another. 2 Corinthians 13, 12, greet one another. Galatians 5, 13, serve one another. Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens. Ephesians 4, 2, forbearing one another. Ephesians 4, 32, be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3, 16, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, we are taught of God to love one another. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, edify one another. Hebrews 3, 13, exhort one another. Hebrews 10, 24, consider one another. James 5, 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other. It even tells us some things not to do one to another. And I just wrote down a few of these. This is just a few. James 4, 9, grudge not one against the other. Galatians 5, 15, says we're not to bite one another or devour. And of course, this is not talking about physically. This is talking about spiritually attacking one another. To bite or to devour or to be consumed with one another. Galatians 5:26, provoking one another and envying one another. See, we're in this together. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Who'd you serve last week? Who'd you make a difference in their life? Who'd you comfort? Who did I comfort? We have folks that are part of this church. And listen, this is not, I'm just trying to challenge us. There are needs everywhere. And if we're not careful in the midst of COVID, in the midst of a pandemic, we'll become introverted. We'll become relaxed. We'll lose our focus and we'll forget. As Christians, we have opportunities to minister to the saints. Amen? Amen. So, we'll look at verse 11 one more time, then we're going to move on. So what should I do, preacher? Well, let's see what the apostle said. He said in verse number 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." And brethren, I think you know this. As your pastor, you know I appreciate you. I tell folks all the time, this is the most loving church I've ever been a part of. I thank God for you. And I thank God for what he's doing here. But there's more to do. There's more to do. And so he said, God is not unrighteous. And I'm glad God sees. I'm glad God sees what you do. See, I may forget, but God never forgets. I may forget to come to you and say, "Hey, I appreciate that, Brother Corey. I appreciate you and Lauren taking care of that." It's not because I don't care. It's not because I don't appreciate it. It's just sometimes my mind gets on overload. And I tell you, it doesn't take too much for my mind to do that anymore. But I've got to tell you something else. God doesn't forget. God sees it. And he's keeping the records. God's got some books. We talked about it this morning, all right? God's got some books, all right? And he's writing it down. And one day there's going to be a reward day. There is. There's going to be a crowning, a coronation day in heaven. And we're going to receive the things done in our body, the deeds, the scripture says. And I'm thankful for that. Now, let's look what he said. We've seen our motivation. So what are we to do? Say, "Preacher, I haven't been serving as I could. I know I could do better, preacher. There's people in my Sunday school class that I could reach out and make a difference in their life. There's people that sit across from me that I've noticed they've gotten a little stagnant in their attendance. There's people that I've been thinking about, and probably everybody in this room tonight, in the sanctuary tonight, would say this. You know what? I've had somebody in my heart for the last few weeks, and for whatever reason, something just comes up, and I always think about reaching out to them when it's impossible for me to do it, and then when I can do it, I don't think about it." How many of you have that happen to you on a regular basis? I know I do. Don't beat yourself up. Do what the apostles say. Look at the way it ends in verse number 10. Look at the last part of that verse. "And do minister." There's motivation. You do it in Jesus' name. Then there's continuation. Just keep on doing it. So, "Preacher, I haven't done it the best." Well, listen, that doesn't mean you have to quit. That doesn't mean God's through with you. Just keep on ministering. "Well, I can't do it like other people can do it." Well, you know, God hasn't called you to do it like someone else is doing it. God has something for you to do. God has something for you to do. God has something for all of us to do, right? Amen. Let God work in your heart. Let God guide you and direct you, and then just begin to minister to people. Serve them. Serve people. It may be just as simple as handing them a gospel tract. It may be just as simple as taking them a small gift as a new movie. And I told Sharon last week, we had some folks that moved in beside us. And I said, "We need to get over there and welcome them to the community." And she said, "I'll bake them," I think she said, "some strawberry bread." And I was thinking, "I hope you bake two loaves." Amen. Or that first loaf might come a little short. See, things like that, that's just ministering to people. And then when you come to church, yeah, it's good to minister to people. It's good to teach Sunday school. It's good to sing and use your talent. But don't let it stop there. When you leave the church, you see somebody that's maybe dragging their feet a little bit, or maybe walking with their head hung down, or maybe just not the same. Doesn't mean they're backslid. They may be going through a troubled time. Doesn't mean they don't love God or care about you or the church. It may be that you're just going through a dark time and you just need to walk up and put your arm around them and let them know you've been praying for them. You've been thinking for them. I'm here. I'm here if you just need somebody to pray with you and talk to you. Right? It's a ministry. It's a ministry. Sometimes there's some folks here at the church, and on a Sunday morning I'll be praying or looking over some notes, and I'll get a text praying for you today, Pastor. I can't tell you what that does for me. I can't tell you what that does for me. And I try to be faithful to do that to others. I'm thinking about you today. And I said a word of prayer for you. Listen, it just helps. It's ministry. And God knows we all need ministry. And so he said, let the motivating factor, listen, the motivation is in the name of Jesus. The continuation is just keep ministering to people. You say, well, I'm ministering and people's not responding, preacher. I know a little something about that. I do. But by the grace of God, I'm not going to quit ministering to people. As a matter of fact, there's some people that's going to run me off. You ever been run off, preacher? A few times. What'd you do? Well, sometimes I went back. Depends on who it was and if I knew they had a weapon or not. Minister to people. Minister to people. Appreciation. God said, I appreciate your ministry. Look at verse number 11 and 12. Admonition. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now here's an admonition. There's a couple of words in here I want you to underline. Okay? Look, if you would, at the word in verse number 11, diligence. Underline that word, because if we're going to serve God in a way that's going to honor Him, we're going to have to be diligent. All right? Because this doesn't come natural. This thing of preferring one another and serving one another, that's not a natural work. That's a supernatural work. Amen? That's supernatural. That's God working in and through you. It's not natural to do these things. And so he said this in verse number 11. He said, we desire that every one of you, that means all of you. Listen, children, that includes you. You can encourage people. You can be an encourager. You don't have to wait till you get your driver's license to be an encourager. You don't have to wait till you get your diploma from high school to encourage people. Listen to me, young folks. You can encourage people now. You can be a blessing to an adult as well as your peers. And so he said, number one, there needs to be diligence. We'll talk about that just for a moment. Then look at verse number 12 and underline the word patience. Here's two words that I want just to make a few comments about, and then we'll close with the last point. All right? So he said, I want to admonish you. I want you to show some diligence. Now, what kind of diligence are we to show when it comes to this matter of serving, of ministering to people? Notice what he said here. He said, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Here it is, that you be not slothful, but followers of them. You see, look at those who have gone on before you. And I believe that the apostle here is talking about some of the Old Testament saints. He comes back to some of these people in chapter number 11. He said, God has given you some great examples of people who serve people, people who minister to people. And God has put some people in the pathway of my life, and God has put some people in the pathway of your life that has taught you the secret to Christian service is selflessness. You're going to have to set aside you and prefer others before you. It's going to cost you some time if you're going to make an impact in somebody's life. Amen. It's going to cost you something. But now you have to be diligent. See, we like this. We like to go knocking on the door and people say, hey, come on in. We're so glad you're here. We've been waiting on you, and just hug us home. And when we walk up to somebody, another Christian, we want everything just to go, you know, A, B, C. It doesn't always go that way. So what did God say? The apostle said here, you have to be diligent. You see that word follower in verse number 12? You know what it means? Imitator. Mimic. Just do what they've done. I read an article. Well, I attempted to read an article. I couldn't even get really one third of the way through it. And I just said, this is garbage. Because it was saying that a new way to do the church ministry. I don't need a new way. God's already given me a way. Just do what this book says. Just get involved in people's lives. Amen. We don't need a new way, brethren. We don't need a new way. We just need to get involved in the old way. And so he said here, he said in verse number 11, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Now, this is something you're going to have to just, tomorrow, you're going to have to remind yourself of. You leave here tonight saying, I'm going to serve. You might have left here last Sunday thinking that and still didn't call anybody, still didn't make a difference. Hey, I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying the devil doesn't want us to make a difference. He's going to busy us. It's kind of like when you go to pray, you think about 100 things that you could and should be doing besides praying. Same way when you go to minister to people and make a difference in people's lives, the devil will try to get a sidetrack. And so what's the author here saying? What's the apostle saying? He's saying you need to show the same diligence. You have to be diligent. You can't just give it a swipe and say, well, you know, that didn't go very well, and so I'm going to try something else. No, you just have to stay at it. Stay at it. People will begin to respond. God will bring somebody along, right? Diligence. Then he said this. Look at it. He said in verse number 12, that you be not slothful. That's sluggish. You can't just approach it half-heartedly. There has to be a focus, a mindset about serving. Is that your mindset this evening? Church, is that your mindset? I believe that it is. It's got to become our mindset. This is not about, well, we're going to pay a preacher. We're going to pay a couple or a few preachers, and they're going to go out and minister to people for us. Hey, you don't want that. Even if we said that we would do that, you don't want that because it'll rob you of a blessing. There's a blessing in helping people. Yes, it'll cost you something. Yes, there's heartache. And there's sorrow, and there's grief, and there's pain. But thank God, there's blessing too. There's blessing. There's encouragement. We get to impact, and we get to invest in other people's lives. And when you begin to look across the church and see people that you personally have had a hand in, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. But follow them who through faith and patience. You see that word faith? What do these people do through faith and patience? Look at it. What do? They inherit the promises. God's made some promises. They're ours. Faith. All right? Faith. That's trust. Patience. That's time. It takes both. Faith. And trust, you've got to have faith to lay hold of the promises. You have to have the patience for the time. What do you mean, preacher? Well, we'll close with this. Look in verse number 13, 14 and 15. He's talking about, now we're going to make an application. Abraham. See, God made a promise to Abraham. And because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. I'm going to say amen right there. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means when God says something, you can mark it down. It's going to happen. And God has said he is not unrighteous to forget. And God's made a promise. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this, and we'll come back. I want to make a statement here, and I want you to listen very carefully. God made Abraham a promise. And there was a time, been studying Abraham. We've been studying in our Sunday school. And my, what a tremendous study this friend of God is. Abraham was given the promise, and there was a time where Abraham struggled with the promise, and he said, you know, I just don't know if God's going to do it. And he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, no, it's not about Ishmael. That wasn't my promise. You know what that tells me? Sometimes when God makes me a promise, sometimes when God makes you a promise, we say, well, oh, that the flesh, the way this, maybe this is what you meant. Maybe this is what you're going to do. And God said, no, that's not what I said. I said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isn't that what he said? He said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. He said, no, that's not what I said. He said, yeah, I said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the Bible says in the book of Romans that Abraham took hold of that promise and he would not let it go. There's some folks here tonight, and I'm one of them. Brethren, there's times that we need to take hold of the promise. You say, preacher, there's something going on in my life. I need a promise from God. I need a promise from God. Can I tell you the promises are there for the claiming? It's not just enough to read them. Stand on them. Stand on the promises. Amen. Isn't that what we sing? Standing on the promises of Christ my King. Stand on the promises. You go home tonight and you get on your face before God and you say, God, I need a promise. God, I'm in a place in my life. I need a promise. I need a promise that I can claim that you have given. And God, I'm not going to let it go. God, I'm going to believe you. I'm not going to let it go until you bring it to pass. It may be after you're 99. Listen to me, like old Abraham. Hear me now. You may think that God had forgotten, but listen, God is not unrighteous that he would forget. You take hold of that promise, and one day, glory to God, God will bring that promise to pass. Amen. You say, preacher, I've been praying for my son. I've been praying for my daughter. I've been praying for my mom, my dad. I've been praying for this one or that one. And I've been praying for years and years. And it seems like it's not getting better. They're not getting closer. It's getting worse. And they're going further away. Preacher, is God going to honor his promise? God always honors his promise. Amen. God always honors his promise. You see, we need to understand that when God gave us his promises, there is a trust issue. And we need to lay hold of it and trust him. But there's also a time issue. That trust issue is the faith that is spoken of. That time issue is the patience. God doesn't always answer his promise and perform his promise overnight. And so he used Abraham. And he said, remember Abraham. There's the trust as you stand to your feet. There's the time, but then there was the thrill when little Isaac was born, because the promise was made a reality. Now, who is it tonight? Who is it tonight? You say, I'm in a bad way, preacher. I'm in a bad way. You'd be surprised who's in a bad way in the church tonight. Just because the person up here or out there sitting across from you is smiling and dressed well, that doesn't mean they don't have trials and they're not in a dark place and they're under a severe attack. Don't ever assume that now. Who is it tonight as we bow our heads that would say, preacher, I need a promise? Can I tell you the Bible is full of promises? Why don't you come to this altar and claim one? Claim a promise. Say, preacher, I don't even know many promises. You pray and ask God to guide you to a promise. Would you do that? God, show me a promise for my predicament. Show me a promise for the place I'm at in my life. Lord, I need a promise that I can hold on to. And God, I'm not going to let it go. That through faith, I'm going to believe. And through patience, regardless of how much time it takes, I'm going to inherit the promise, God. I'm going to see that promise come to pass. I don't know what it could be in your life, but I know this. I know God is able. God is able. There's Christians that are praying. And while Christians are praying, and I want to encourage you here tonight, if you're saved, please listen. Claim God's promises. Claim God's promises. Perhaps tonight God has laid a promise or an individual or a situation on your heart. And if you don't have a promise, ask God to give you a promise that you can lay hold of, that you will not let go until that promise has been fulfilled in your life. While Christians are praying, if you're here and you've never been saved, I want to give you a promise. From God's word. The wages of sin is death. That's a promise. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a promise. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. But by faith, you have to claim God's promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there someone here that would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know Jesus as my Savior. I know I need to be saved. I know I'm not where I need to be with God. I know there's something missing in my life. And I want to ask you to pray for me, preacher. I want to know more about what it means to be saved and have my sin forgiven and a relationship with God through Jesus. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just slip your hand up and back down. I won't come to you nor embarrass you. Anyone? God bless you. God bless you. Who else? I'm not saved. Anyone else? There's still folks praying. Preacher, I'm not saved. I know I need to be. Pray for me.